This the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near.' I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for you, Tyre and Sidon, at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." This is the word of the Lord.
The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord.
It's for someone else's ask, or what are they after now? And I really just don't want to do that, to help you feel that you're a target for yet another kind of church activity. I guess the difficulty those in leadership have is that everyone leaves these evenings or events in a much, much better shape than they went there. And the most frequent thing that's been said to me, and I must move on quickly after nearly 30 years of ordained ministry, is not worse, another complaint is, "If I'd have known it had been that good, I would have been there." I suppose you're feeling that's another cell by the back door. It really isn't. I can't say it more plainer than with greater transparency than this. Whatever the resistance is, and I fully understand it's there. A week on Tuesday and the closer events are really, really good. You will miss something. I will promise to stop there. Perhaps I should have been a salesman. When the Gospels were written, clearly they were wanting to repeat something about the historical record of Jesus Christ. The word gospel means good news. It's good news about him. It's not just a repetition of his biography or what he did, but these are kind of good news things. And they're all grouped together, but the way the episodes were grouped together wasn't just, as it were, by chance. It was a deliberate, inspired grouping together of the stories. The reason I'm saying that is each of the stories are important in their own right. It happened this way. We need to learn what Jesus was saying and doing. And then another episode, and another episode. But the way the writers were inspired by God to group the records together also brings a very, very important point. And a few hundred years after they were written, the church decreed that they should be put together for all time in the so-called canon of Holy Scripture. The word canon literally means the straight. It keeps us on the straight and narrow, functioning as we should, to be recipients of God's blessing, as indeed we are inherited to be. God has no other desire than to bless us. As well as the autumn term bringing the start of a church work, off to college and school and so on and so forth, in our family it happens to be the time when the blasted MOT has to happen. Maybe I shouldn't use the word blasted in church. It's safer than any other adjectives that may or may not come to mind. That was meant to be a funny, are you awake? Because it costs, and the car is 20 years old, and so we take a deep breath. This year I've gotten off lightly with a windscreen wiper, and I've never had this before, a number plate that can't be recognised. So I thought, this is it, this is going to be the birthday gift coming up, a personalised number plate, MB the Vic or something like that. No, just replace the thing, short and sweet, please, let's sort it out. And of course it has to be done. There are some third world countries where you don't regularise and look after cars properly. They'll fall down, you'll hurt yourself, or you'll have an accident for someone else. So I get the logic, I just don't like the bill, or the waiting and all the rest of it. And so there's a set of standards that are there to make sure this car is roadworthy. And after 20 years, she or he or it or whatever you call a car is still going strong. The episodes in Jesus' life that were grouped together in Luke chapter 10, if you like, are an MOT, or they're a benchmark for what a church or what a Christian group or even what a Christian should be doing, how we should be witnessing. And they're grouped together deliberately. And I want to look, if I may see the slide, Andy, thank you for doing this at short notice, all three together. In Luke chapter 10, you have Jesus telling his disciples to go and to proclaim the kingdom of God. He calls 72 to him, divides them into pairs, and he sends them off and says, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And that was the passage that we had read to us. Clearly something happened, and they came back to Jesus and said, as we went proclaiming the kingdom of God, it worked. And Jesus said those very famous lines, don't rejoice that things happen when you preach or when you proclaim in my name, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And then the very next passage in Luke chapter 10 is probably the most famous or well-known passage in the whole of the scriptures, the parable of the Good Samaritan. There was someone who'd been beaten up by robbers lying by the roadside, and it wasn't the church members that did something about the problem. Not sure of your church affiliation today, but it does give the church pause for thought that there are social groupings and caring groupings out there in the world that care and have compassion on other people. It was the Samaritan, the person who was outside the church, away from God's so-called kingdom, that did something to help the robber, took him to a hotel. I digress, but when Blessed Margaret Thatcher was questioned about this in terms of social care, she said, well, at least the Good Samaritan had money in his pocket. It's an appalling way to do your social policy, but there you go. This is not for politics, this is a pulpit. And then the very next thing, if you notice, and under the Spirit, Luke has written this, all to go together. This is the point. You have that very famous story. And for some of us, this hurts, of Mary and Martha. Mary is waiting, listening to the Lord's word and praying. Martha is busy. And busy with all the things at home and at work and life. And then the chide comes from Jesus. Mary has chosen the better way. It's not all rushing around. It's not all activity. It's about listening in quietness and prayer and attending to the Lord's word. And many commentators feel that it isn't the proclamation of God's word, and it isn't the social care associated with it or the practice that is the best thing to be doing. It is waiting on the Lord in prayer. But here's a checklist for us. Not sure how your cars are doing, but I wonder how our Christian lives are doing, witnessing for the Lord. I wonder how your group that you're involved in is doing, witnessing for the Lord. I wonder how this church is doing, witnessing for the Lord. There is the proclamation of the kingdom of God. There is the active care, going out of our way to care for people in need. And I find this increasingly said today, as the media reminds the church of declining numbers, that if all the volunteer work of church members stopped overnight, then many of our towns and communities, villages, would struggle. Because of a community were probably the people most involved in voluntary work in the community, not just in the church. Proclamation, the practice of the work of God, and then also prayer, listening to him. Perhaps this is the better way. Many people associated with caring for others find they have compassion fatigue. The need is too great. We can't keep on giving. Our resources run out. Only prayer can resource that. Try proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near without prayer, and most people just simply won't believe you. Notice in verses 9 and 11 what we're meant to proclaim. That the kingdom of heaven is near. Exactly the same words that Jesus used when he first came in his earthly ministry. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the good news. And so he can't carry on this work. He entrusts it to us. No one else is going to say, Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ is alive, and because of those two facts within universal history, something about God is in charge. Friends, you won't be able to say that unless you've somehow allowed Jesus to be in charge of your life. Perhaps the extent to which he is in charge of your life will be the extent to which you suggest, and I actually believe we should tell others that he's there, or demonstrate it in some way that Jesus Christ died, is alive forevermore, and that can make a difference. And I'm prepared to say it's made a difference in my life. How are we, how are you doing at testifying to the fact that Jesus rules, that there is a king? A new day, Lord, rule in my life. Whoever I meet, whoever the encounter is with, may they sense something of you and your death and resurrection that you rule. And then the parable of the Good Samaritan, how does it conclude? You then go and do likewise. Clearly, in this complex and complicated world, we can't always give to everyone in need. But surely there is a sharp reminder that when we can help, Christians should be those who go out of their way, like the Good Samaritan did, to help. Otherwise, our proclamation of the kingdom is really pretty lame and fruitless. And then prayer. Where does that happen? Mary has chosen what's better. I can say this in full transparency and honesty, and perhaps I say it to myself as life gets busier. But when I found I started each day with a moment of prayer or a time of reflection in prayer with the Lord, I found the day went better. I actually proved it. There is a tradition within the Christian church, and if you're not a morning person, good God, it's morning rather than good morning, God. And you preferred, that also was a funny, are you still awake? You prefer to pray at the end of the day, that's fine. Bless where the spirits energize me. And may there be more of that. When and where does that happen? Even Christians, regular churchgoers, can be nominal with this. So there's the MOT for our lives, for a Christian community's life. The proclamation of the kingdom, going out of our way to help, and waiting on the Lord in prayer. Tick or fail. 20 years on the road, another year to do. What's the Lord been saying? What's the number plate that people will see written across your life? Witness for Christ, going out of your way, prepared to proclaim the kingdom of God, and somehow in the busyness of life, finding space, as Mary did, to pray. A few moments quiet, and I'll lead you in a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, risen Son of God, rule in our lives by your Spirit. Help us to proclaim, to practice, and to wait on you, that your church in this day might pass your test and pass your kingly rule on to others. For we ask it in your precious name. Amen.